Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That woulda, coulda, shoulda game is always good the day after. But, you know, we had 7 of our 10 drives, we had the ball on their side of the 50, and we come away with 12 points. So we were in scoring position enough times, we just didn't get the points. So we either a turnover, we had a couple costly penalties that knocked us out of field goal range, and then we had a couple sacks. We were behind the chains, and we had a couple sacks that knocked us out of scoring range.
Welcome back to the Atlanta Falcons and our red zone issues there, Dirk Koetter. Dirk Koetter, offensive coordinator of the Falcons, saying 7 of 10 possessions on the other side of the field, and you got 2 touchdowns here. That's all you got out of it.
Yeah, and you know what? His explanation is dead on, but as a fan, man, you ain't trying to hear all that. Like, man, ain't nobody trying to hear that rigmarole, that foo-fanging. Nobody trying to hear all that mess. Score touchdowns. That's the unfortunate thing about being a head coach or an offensive coordinator or somebody who has to sit up in front of the media and explain why stuff looks like it looks. Because you're not lying. You're not lying. But nobody's trying to hear that. And when people start talking about how it looks the same as it did last year and, you know, these are some of the same issues, that's hard to defend. It really is. Especially when you talk about, you know, hey, we're going to do this better. We're going to bleed in the red zone better, all this other stuff. And then you see some of the same things keep cropping up. You just have to lay out on that one because there's not a whole lot you can say that's going to salve the wounds of Falcons fans. It's not.
Yeah, the other thing is going to salve the wounds. You start winning games, and that'll start Sunday, and that's going to be a tall task against the Philadelphia Eagles in the home opener Sunday night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Text line is certainly open this morning at 404-741-0929. So are the phone lines. We're talking about the Falcons this morning. Dirk Koetter, meeting the media, the offensive coordinator, talking about the game on Sunday and kind of looking back on it. And this is what Dirk Koetter said about the physicality of the Falcons against the Vikings.
You know, you can make excuses for a lot of stuff, but we had it's more than just getting beat physically. I mean, once in a while that did happen. And against a good front like Minnesota on the road with that crowd noise, it's going to happen from time to time. We also missed a couple of help opportunities when we had guys assigned to help outside on the edge.
Yeah, well,
he ain't lying.
I mean, again.
He ain't lying. But ain't nobody trying to hear that, man. You know, it's funny. like yesterday. And I love my friends, but the unfortunate thing for me is that my friends are Falcons fans. I mean, I'm a Falcons fan, but my friends are diehard Falcons fans, and they've been here for a while. And they listen to the show, and when they hear me talking, I'm trying to analyze what's going on, and I'm trying to give it from a perspective of a former player. They ain't trying to hear that. So much so that they call me after the show and tell me how to do the show and what I need to be saying. Like I said, I love them to death, but it's just the funniest thing in the world because nobody, like the bottom line is this, nobody wants to hear the excuses. Show me the baby. Like that's where we are. And I can sit there and try to explain it to people till I'm blue in the face. And that's tough to do because I'm pretty dark skinned, but that's tough to do. So, but nobody's trying to hear that. Nobody wants to hear you sit there and explain logically what's going on. They want to see results, man. They want results. And that's the business that the NFL is. It's a result-based business.
And one more thing from Dirk Koetter yesterday. I was asked about the play that Matt Ryan was allegedly trying to throw the ball away, where he threw it in the back of the end zone and it got picked off, about the fact that the Falcons on that play were targeting Luke Stocker, and you're like, where's Julio? Where are they on the sidelines? Where's Mohamed Sanu? On the sidelines, where's Austin Hooper? And you're throwing it to Luke Stocker? This is what Koetter said.
We had our goal line guys in. They had their goal line guys in too. So, you know, they had all their big people in. So they didn't have all their DBs in either. We tried to get them on a bootleg, and they covered it well. And then, you know, Matt's got to cut our losses on that and throw it out of bounds. And then, you know, we still got two more downs to see what we're going to do.
He ain't lying.
Again.
He ain't lying. Matt, like, he basically said that's on Matt. Like, that was on Matt. Matt should have threw that away. He ain't lying. But ain't nobody trying to hear that. Nobody's trying to hear that today. Nobody's trying to hear that yesterday. Ain't nobody going to be trying to hear that this weekend if it happens. Bottom line is this is a result-based business. You got to get it done. You have to get it done. And when you see some of the same issues cropping up from over the seasons, that's why fans tend to talk about that ugly word gets thrown around, unprepared. And like I said, I don't think that's the case. But when everybody sees the game the same way, I'm not about to sit out here and try to explain or make myself look foolish trying to explain what's going on, because nobody is trying to hear that. Nobody's trying to hear that part of it. They want to see the baby.
Nick and McDonough texts in and says the fans need to show up and show out on Sunday. Don't sell your tickets to Philly fans. Oh, they're going to be thick. I mean, they are.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of phone calls from Philly fans. Like, a lot of people are going to be in town. I mean, that's anticipated.
But do they think you get free tickets?
Yeah, they do. They're like, hey, Hugh, can we get tickets? I'm like, bro, I ain't got it like that here in Atlanta. I ain't got it. I'm sorry. And if I did, man, I can't do that. I got to live here. I ain't about to do that. I'm that guy, like this weekend, because of everything, the way that it went down,
mm-hmm.
I'm that guy that when I see, like, you know, you see your old crew that you used to run with, but you got a new crew that you running with, and y'all really cool, and you here with this crew, you just chuck them the deuce. You just got to chuck everybody the deuce. I still roll with you, but I'm going to go ahead and stay neutral. When everybody start, you know, like what was that movie back in the day? With the dude Saint Maria, where they did the fights and they were dancing and stuff. West Side, I couldn't think of the name of it. West Side Story, when everybody's fighting the West Side Story with the knives and singing and popping their fingers, I'm gonna be the dude on the sideline talking about, hey, y'all hold it down, y'all hold it down this week. This my old crew, this my new crew. I got love for both of y'all, but I'm gonna go ahead and I gotta sit this one out.
We had the coach go out there and stand in front of the mic and say, we're pissed. All right.
So, ain't nobody trying to hear that either.
I know. And then the Falcons, you know, tweeted it out officially on their Twitter. The Atlanta Falcons said, we're pissed, and then played the soundbite of Dan Quinn.
It could feel like an Olympic race.
This one.
I was more pissed off than I've been in a long time. And we've had tough losses. There's a lot of preparation, a lot of buildup, you know, that goes on to start the season, the energy to have that right. Sometimes it could feel like an Olympic race. You're ready to go and false start, and you're out of it before you even get going.
All right, I'm glad you're angry up there, and maybe that's a good thing, Hugh. Maybe, but did they really have to get into that kind of anger situation to kind of, you know, fix things? I don't know. I mean, maybe they just when it was not so much unprepared. Maybe it was just a different focus. You know, we haven't heard. I don't know. I look, I'm at loss for words here.
I don't know. I'll tell you this, as a former player, like if I was playing in that game and we had the kind of outcome that we had, I'm embarrassed. Don't want to watch film. Really getting prepared for this game this weekend, knowing the team that I'm playing against is going to come in here, coming off an emotional high, coming back from, you know, down two touchdowns and winning the way that they did. One of the favorites coming in. A lot of people are looking at you in this game and thinking that you don't have a snowball's chance against the Eagles. I'd be pissed about that. I'm pissed that Coach rewound several times the fact that I probably got trucked or maybe I gave up outside contain. And he's not saying my name directly, but he's talking about me. This guy right here, this guy, that guy, we got to keep outside contain on that, you know, guys. Defensive ends, we got to keep outside contain because, I mean, gosh, this guy's going to bump his head on the goalpost. Like, stuff like that, that's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to sit in a meeting knowing that you're directly at fault for the way the game went. Like, you're not, like, it's certain things in the defense, the structure of the defense that broke down that has to do with you directly. It wasn't all your fault because, you know, offense has to score points and all the other stuff. But as a defender, you're embarrassed because your job is to defend, and you didn't. You didn't defend.
All right, so we got a lot of questions about what's going to happen before Sunday night. We're asking you on our text line, our phone lines, on our Twitter at 404-741-0929 on at 929 the game. What is the biggest problem? What is of all of the issues that the Falcons have to settle here, what's the biggest problem that they have to fix here? Is it the offensive line now with the injury to Lindstrom, Hugh? Is it the play calling selection, especially in the red zone from Dirk Koetter? Is it ball security? Is it gap contain on defense? What's the single biggest issue that if you had to pick one thing to say, we got to do this, what are you doing?
Protect the quarterback better. Protect the ball carrier better. All of that. Like, you're talking about, like, the thing that jumps out to me. Okay, flip side.
Mm-hmm.
Dalvin Cook, he's running downfield. He's running downhill. He's not touched until 3 yards over the line of scrimmage. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's 3 yards to the positive before anybody's tackling him. On the flip side, you talk about Devontae Freeman. He's either getting tackled behind the line of scrimmage or right at the line of scrimmage, or maybe he's gaining a yard. That is not dominating the line of scrimmage. That is not dominating the line of scrimmage. So in order to do everything that you want to do, there has to be some kind of space. And right now, that offensive line is getting dominated up front. They got dominated by a good defensive line, no question about that. You got another good defensive line coming in today. You know, you're talking about the injury to the defensive line for the Philadelphia Eagles, but Tim Jernigan is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a starter last year. He was a starter. So it's going to be one of those things where you're going to go up against another tough offensive line and a defensive line against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, on the text line, being biggest issue is being soft. Falcons are soft. Falcons are soft.
And that was the song I was thinking about, too. Wasn't that Natalie Wood? Yes. We're going to rumble tonight. We're going to rumble tonight. We're going to rumble tonight.
What do you think the single biggest issue is the Falcons have to fix before they face the Philadelphia Eagles? Sharks and Jets makes me think of hockey. All right, we're asking you that question next after a CBS Sports Minute.
So I watched it again last night when I got home, watched it again this morning. And the reason I was so mad is because we didn't do what we said we were going to do, and we didn't do what we were capable of doing. The coach in me always wants the 1-0, but if you had to have an 0-1, the teacher in me said you better apply the lesson. So to start off like we had, I think we had a sack on the first play, a block punt, down 7-0, interception, down 14-0, and then we're kind of out of our own game of how we like to play. So to finish that day in a minus turnover margin, we didn't create any. I think it was that was the lesson I hope to get applied. But I didn't sense anything from any arrogance or hey, we got this, or we'll just now that we're all back together, we'll get rolling.
Dan Quinn kind of talking about being about the ball. And a matter of fact, welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. As we ask you, what's the one thing, what's the one biggest thing? There are a lot of things to fix, okay? But we're trying to get you to focus on one thing to fix. And it's always been about the ball. Matter of fact, one of the texters, Hugh, texts in and says, all I have heard for 3 years is that it's all about the ball, and yet we continue to lose the turnover battle. And it has been what Dan Quinn has preached and preached and preached.
Hey, and see, that's the thing. Fans are frustrated because they hear that and they don't see what you've been talking about for the last 3 years. Now, again, it wasn't as bad as it looked Sunday. And, we've all at some point, we've overreacted to the game.
Mm-hmm.
But as a fan, man, no, nobody's trying to hear that. Nobody's trying to hear that. And they have to come out next week and they have to get it done. They have to. Because if they don't, then it's going to be even more frustration with the Atlanta Falcons.
We're asking you, what's the biggest issue here? I mean, is it the offensive line from the text line, fix the O-line? Matt can't play flat on his back. And, again, I thought that's what we did in the offseason. Didn't we use 2 number-one picks and all this money for Brown and Carpenter and Sambrelo to fix the offensive line? Yeah, it didn't look like it in the first game, did it? Is it the play calling? Is that an issue? In other words, they adjusted towards the second half to get the ball into the hands of guys like Hooper a lot more than they did, and didn't try and hit deep balls down the middle and go vertical so much. which is what happened on that very first sack. And you laid that out yesterday, Hugh, that they were trying to hit a home run.
Hey, we're going to get them. We're going to get them. I mean, I just like, wow. I mean, I understand the concept because it's a great concept, but it just didn't work out the way that you wanted to work out.
Is it ball security? Is it, which was obviously when you lose a turnover battle, block punts a turnover, so it was 0-4, even though it says 0-3 on the stat line. Is it, edge contain on that defense, on that run defense from Vic and Tack and everybody else? Or is it, as one texter said, being soft? Packers are soft. We go to your calls too, Jeff and Lithonia. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, man.
Hey, I agree with Hugh, what you said earlier. I believe it's the offensive line. We got to protect the quarterback. I mean, Matt Ryan, we know he's not a mobile quarterback, and as soon as the defensive ends or anybody gets back there, he's going to fold. So we got to protect him, and I think that will open up the offense for us.
That's a little bit of a shot, though. You took a little shot. That was funny.
there are ways around it, right? I mean, you can – maybe roll the pocket and.
He just said the guy wasn't mobile, yeah. So you can move around a little bit. But dude, the bottom line is this: you have to line up and you have to win your one on ones. You have to win your individual blocking. That's mm-hmm. it. And you're not gonna get. See, this is the messed up part about the NFL. You're not gonna get that matchup every week that you're not favored in. It's not gonna be like that every week. The unfortunate thing is for these next couple of weeks. You're in matchups that don't favor you mm-hmm. up front. They just don't. And you have to figure out ways to make these matchups work in your favor. How do you do that? You run the ball. You try to make some screens in there. But the problem is this. When you have that kind of penetration that the Minnesota Vikings were getting, it's hard to establish anything. You know, just like Dave said, there were opportunities. There were attempts to run the ball. But it was a slow treading type thing. Now, Dave said that, he was the kind, you're the kind of guy that, if it's not there, it's kind of hard to maintain it and stick with it. Me, I feel like if it's tough sledding, it's just tough sledding. You got to get it. Like, it's like 10-yard fight. And if you're getting 2 or 3 yards a pop, that's better than no yards a pop. But I understand what he was saying. I definitely understand what he's saying with that. You have to run the ball better. There has to be more of a contact for the runner 2 or 3 yards down the field as opposed to at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage. That's the biggest thing. Devontae Freeman is not a take the ball, cut, and go. He dances a little bit. That's what he does. And when you do that, if you're not an offensive line that's getting your block and getting downfield, you're susceptible to what happened last Sunday. You're susceptible to him potentially getting, hit for negative yardage or giving the ball up.
What is the biggest issue the Falcons face now in terms of fixing themselves as they head to Philadelphia? Curtis in Johns Creek. Hey, Curtis.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Love the show. And I got to agree with you on so many points this morning. But to me, the biggest issue is you got to win third down. Period. This situation of football, last night, Sean Payton said, don't get a penalty. Don't hurt him. Give him a chance. The New Orleans Saints went out there, did not commit a penalty. Drew Brees did his thing. The Atlanta Falcons, from the coaches to the players, need to get out there and play football and do their job. That's what they need to do. We are horrible on third down. This is ridiculous. This is 3 years in a row. Beat the man in front of you, period. Third down, win third down, and we win a lot of more football games.
Yeah, we've had a lot of problems with third down and red zone, and we keep hearing about it, and nothing gets done about it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where the plays that you set up, and listen, I'm not a play caller. I can sit here and tell you what I feel could have ran and what I think of work or whatever, but I'm not with these guys. I'm not, I don't know what coach is feeling. I don't know what formations they're seeing or whatever. I don't know what they're seeing from the booth that makes them call the plays that they're calling. Mm-hmm. I don't know any of that. But when you look at some of the things that have happened with this Atlanta Falcons team over the past couple of years, you would think that certain things would just be, ingrained in you as a player. And it just feels like it's the same issues over and over and over again.
Right, and this is the fifth year of Dan Quinn, not the second or third, fifth.
Yeah, but, you know, you could even go back to the year that they went to the Super Bowl, same of the same issues. It's just that, dude, it's like the unfortunate thing about it and the bad part about it is when you lose in the fashion that you lost in the last two seasons at the beginning of the season, it's one of them things it's just glaring. And it's just like, oh, my gosh, what's going on? And then you're told, listen, we're going to correct these problems. We went out and got some guys. We got some guys that are going to do this, that, and the third. And you see the guys out there and you're feeling good about it. And you see the same mistakes, you know. And that's why when you hear that word unprepared, I cringe every time I say it, but that's what people see. That's what people see.
T is in Macon. He's on with John and Hugh talking about the Falcons' biggest issue. Hey, T.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Man, what's going on?
I say identity, fellas. The Falcons don't have identity. What type of team are you trying to be? And let me ask you this, fellas. With this being the way the schedule pans out for the Falcons, do you consider this a must-win?
Well, you know, it's so funny, T, that you mentioned that. You know, and we asked that question yesterday. Is suddenly that a must-win? Setting that aside, because I mean, really, yes and no. I mean, it's an important game, but it's only second game of the year. I mean, we've seen teams go 0-4 and 0-5 and make the playoffs. But so in that regard, but I think from your mentally, maybe it is. But to the identity thing, Hugh, you know, that's go back to 2016. What did we know? I want to take you back to that moment, Hugh, because this is such an important moment. When you're talking to Wes, standing on the sidelines about how this team had SEC speed and they had this brotherhood and they were fast. They were the fastest team in the NFL.
They were fast. I mean, that's what he talked about the linebackers. Mm-hmm. That's what he was basically talking about. The Falcons still have all of that. They have all of that. But what you saw this Sunday was that all that speed was negated by straight up and out raw power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, everybody wants to point to the fact that, and I know Randy Mack got just like, oh, you see D get ran over D.I. Jones? Dude, number one, like he said, that happens to every linebacker that has ever played this game. And number two, he's over pursuing because he's looking at that play that Dalvin Cook ran as that's supposed to be a cutback, and that's supposed to cut back into the teeth of the defense. It didn't happen like that. So now Dalvin Cook has a head of steam running towards you, and you're just trying to stop the bleeding at that point.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking about, you know, an identity for this team. I mean, that I think is an important – I don't know, Hugh. I mean, you played professionally. I think that when you establish an identity, you have something that when things are going bad, you can kind of fall back on, right? I mean, you know what you do really well, and you can always go back to that well and grab it if you need to. I'm not sure this team has that at the moment. What's the thing you fall back on when everything's going wrong? I know it's tough picking one thing, right? It is. Atlanta United getting ready for this weekend and a return to action. We're going to be talking about the Falcons throughout the day. We'll also check in with Atlanta United as we continue on the morning show on this Tuesday with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Time for the Hot Off the Presses Atlanta Soccer Report, brought to you by Georgia Natural Gas.
Morning show with John and Hugh. Boy, there's a lot going on in town. Braves, Falcons, college football, and, of course, Atlanta United as they now focus solely on MLS play down the stretch run as they get back into action against the Columbus Crew this Saturday night in a game you can hear on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with our coverage beginning at 6:30. We're joined now by one of the best young American-born players in the country, Emerson Hyman, who joins us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Emerson.
Hey, morning. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. So, Emerson, how has this team used this time off to recover mentally and physically?
No, it's been obviously a long month for us, you know, a lot of games. So, no, it couldn't have come at a more perfect time. You know, I think when we get back, we got the final stretch of the season that we're looking forward to. But, yeah, it was a good breakaway.
Atlanta United midfielder Emerson Hyman, as we look ahead to the MLS run here. Now that you're clear of the camp, you've won the Campeones Cup, you won the U.S. Open Cup, and now, Emerson, I think mentally, too, you could focus solely on one thing, correct?
Yeah, for sure. You know, that's obviously we wanted to win multiple trophies. You know, it's always a goal of ours. And, you know, to have done that already and still have, you know, the league available to us, it's a huge thing for us. And, you know, I think focus solely on the league is going to help us a lot, you know, and obviously the final stretch is there. So it's all up to us.
Talking to Emerson Hyman, Atlanta United midfielder. Emerson, you haven't had a game since that tough loss to Philadelphia. How have you guys been handling that?
Well, obviously, we were on a really good stretch before that. So, it wasn't normal for us at all. So, we took it on the chin a little bit. Obviously, I think there was some tired legs out there after the stretch we had of games. And, like I said, the break couldn't come at a more perfect time. You know, we just got to get re-energized, refocused, and just be ready for all the games coming up.
What's going to be the key for this team? If you're going to catch, NYCFC, Philadelphia Union, if you're going to win the East and get the number one seed, obviously you got to win games, and, of course, the big thing. But in order to win games here, is it about making sure that you keep Joseph on that big streak? You got to lock down your defense? I mean, what's the one thing you got to control midfield where you are? What's the one thing you got to do the best probably to win the East?
I think it's obviously a group effort. I think we have to do all the right things. We got a few teams around us that are doing well also. So, we have to go into every game trying to win it. And, I think obviously Joseph's been on fire up front for us, scoring goals. And, I think, other players have been playing well as well. And defense kept quite a few shutouts recently as well before that. So I think we just got to keep it up, keep focused, and just play as a group.
Now, you and I have been talking about the fact that one of the good things is Emerson Hyman, Atlanta United midfielder, is that this team has so much depth. You can see it. I mean, you played in the EPL, and you come over here, and you've got depth on this one. You've got Tito Villalba and Michael Parkhurst yourself. I mean, you got guys that can't, get, necessarily into a full-time starting role because the team's got so much depth, which is a good thing, obviously. But how is it for you guys, staying warm? We see you run during games, mentally and, I'm not talking about physically, but mentally staying right there so that, when your number's called, you're ready.
Well, I mean, I think that's the thing. You work hard in training so you're ready for the games no matter what you're asked to do. You prepare just like the players that are starting that particular game, and you go into it with the same mindset. You're all there to win, and you have to be ready to come in and make an impact if you're a sub. I think that's the mentality of everyone in the group. So we're lucky in that way. But yeah, everyone's ready to step in when needed.
Talking to Emerson Hyman, Atlanta United midfielder. Emerson, you had the opportunity to play in Premier League. How is this league different than the Premier League, MLS?
It's obviously Premier League's kind of, the top league, probably in the whole world. You see a lot of players go there for numerous reasons. But, I think the difference here is, for me anyway, is, it's a different kind of standard of, I think mainly the traveling and the getting to places. And obviously you got time zones and all that kind of stuff, which is a huge factor. And I think playing away is a much different factor in this league than it is in England, because obviously the away trip's only a couple hours, usually maximum. So I think that's a huge part of it. And, I've definitely learned to try to cope with it a lot better.
We were talking to Hugh, and I talked about the gap that is starting to close a little bit in MLS, making strides in international play towards the other leagues. And, of course, it's difficult for MLS because you play at a different time of the year than anybody else. Emerson,
yeah.
But you also came up through this system. I mentioned one of the best young players. You came up through all of the American soccer system. We see a U.S. national team that now is, they decided rightly to kind of scrap it, start over, and go young. Do you see on the international stage, the women are doing, we don't have to worry about the women's team, but are you seeing the men's team start to, and the development of players inside this country start to reach up towards a level that you could see, in those great countries like Germany and Argentina and Brazil and the Netherlands?
Well, I mean, you can already see strides, I mean, I think when I went over to England when I was 15, and I think I was one of the few at the time, whereas now you see it all the time, obviously the players in MLS are doing well, and I think they're getting more opportunities in the league, and at the same time, you got players going overseas and doing well and making strides in the biggest league. So I think, especially from the time I kind of went over there, it's definitely progressed. You see a lot more young American players breaking through, and that's always a good sign.
Hey, Emerson, we appreciate you taking a few minutes. We look forward to the game against the Columbus Crew on Saturday night. Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
All right, Emerson Hyman joining us on the WaveForward.com hotline. That was the Georgia Hot Off the Presses Soccer Report.
Ding 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 ding. The sounder is not working. Ding ding ding.
It's okay. Don't worry about
ding,
it.
Ding ding ding.
We'll do it. Ding, this ding, is ding, better, Georgia. All right, here it is. We actually have it.
The Atlanta Soccer Report is brought to you by Georgia Natural Gas. Don't let winter sneak up on you with a sky-high gas bill. Lock in a flat gas bill amount that won't change, even when the weather does. Get the guaranteed bill plan only from GNG at GNG.com.
What was I doing? Man. It didn't sound nothing like the sounder. It sound nothing like it. The hell?
Hey, I hope the weather would change. Man, you see that 99 yesterday or something? Oh, my God. I know that some people love the hot weather, Hugh. I am not one of them. Not when it's 100 degrees. I mean, that sun was hot yesterday.
I would know, Johnfrey, because once I leave here, I go straight home. I go to the gym and sweat it out a little bit. Then I soaks up all the AC in my domicile. So I'm good.
Yeah, people have been responding to one of our big questions. We spent a lot of time talking about the Braves today and what they do at the final 17 games of the year. That was one of the big topics, and we were discussing that. If you missed that, that's going to be posted up on our website at 929thegame.com, and you can also jump into that conversation on our Twitter at 929thegame. How do you handle the last 17 games? Another big thing we've been talking about today, Hugh, what's the Falcons' biggest issue in terms of, you know, the one biggest issue that they have? And a lot of people are saying, you know, it's not necessarily the offensive line or ball security or edge container, those things. They seem to be saying it's a larger sort of issue. I'm reading now on the Twitter, soft, no urgency, you know, no passion.
I could see where people would feel that, because it felt, especially at the beginning of the game, when you get punched in the mouth like that, it did feel that way. But I don't think so, because like we pointed out, you know, in the second half they came out and they balled out. Grady Jarrett, he showed up to play. I think that when you have two guys that we've been looking at to see something, like give us something, to have them struggle the way that they did in the first half, I'm talking about Tack and I'm talking about Vic, that's where you kind of draw that from. Because those are the guys, those are the tone setters, and they didn't get it done, so that's where you kind of feel that from. I hear what you're saying, folks, and I'm not saying you're wrong for feeling that way, but I don't think that's what it is. Now, next week, if we see more of the same, I'm going to find another way to spin it to y'all to try to make it sound good.
Well, Philadelphia is going to come in here and punch you in the mouth.
Hey, I'm going to keep it 100 with you. I'm going to try to find another way to spin it to you to make it sound like it ain't that bad.
You better counterpunch. You better have something to punch back with, because that was the one thing that was most disappointing to me in the first 7.5 minutes. They were punching you, and you just stood there and kind of took it.
What is the meaning behind this song, Orin the Signal? I don't know. He said he just likes this song. I don't know. These have some hidden meanings sometimes. Are you trying to say this Falcons defense was easy like Sunday morning in the first half? Or was it the offense? Or was it easy like Sunday morning for Minnesota's defense? What you saying? I need to know. Why are you turning it up?
Falcons fans, you can turn into 92 in the game 2 hours before every Falcons game for the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. Harry Douglas, Paul Crane previewing this game against the Eagles this Sunday. Countdown to kickoff brought to you by Bud Light, which is brewed for the Dirty Birds. Why are the Alabama Crimson Tide? Their athletic director and their head coach, Nick Saban, they're mad. They're hopping mad about something. Did you see this? We'll tell you why they're so angry. You wouldn't think they would be, but they are. We'll tell you why next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.